Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
Oasis, a radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror, and welcome my co-host, Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am here.
How are you on this, well, technically it's the day after, but it's a few minutes after 4th of July. Did your 4th go well?
Spent it at work in a hot-ass kitchen. So I'm currently
dying. That's the American way.
Oh, and we were dead too. So
yeah,
like.
No, it was it's crazy out there. But yeah, I'm beat. It was a long day on my end as well, and there's so many things to do and get ready for and planning. And but we're here, and we're here for the inaugural. Episode of our month-long series for July. We started it last year. We had so much fun with all the films that we covered last year, and we're looking forward to all the films we're going to be covering this year for our independent horror marathon. We're going to be starting that a little bit later in the show with two indie features. One's a short, one's a horror anthology indie feature. And I'm looking forward to, well, we're both going to be looking forward to discussing those and all the little dissertations wherever we go at our ramblings. And then, of course, we got the big one, which will kick off the show. I'll try to keep it short because, you know, who gives a rat's ass about Annabelle? It's Indie Horror Month. So we'll get Annabelle Comes Home out of the way. And I was at Walmart, and there's another fucking Robert the Doll movie called Robert Returns. And didn't we say when we were talking about it, it should have been called Annabelle Returns or something? Well, Robert already got that moniker, the fucking fifth film in the franchise. Oh, man. That series is never going to end, but hey, what the hell? Good on you. Phase 4, man, they're just releasing nothing but Robert the Doll movies. But anyway, Annabelle Comes Home is the third chapter of the Annabelle franchise of the Conjuring Universe franchise. And this takes, again, I don't exactly know when this takes place. I guess it takes place after the events of the opening of the first Conjuring, I'm assuming. Because this has Ed and Lorraine Warren at the very beginning, where you kind of, you know, you remember in the first scene in The Conjuring, they're talking about it, and they're talking to the people on the couch, and it seems a little bit elongated in this one. So they take the doll, and like we're gonna put it into a safe place, and so they take it to their home, put it in their artifact room. Their haunted artifact room, and the Annabelle doll starts to cause chaos as soon as it gets into the room, and they need to contain the evil. And they put the church paint glass around it, bless it, holy water it, and Annabelle is now in the Warren's house, as you know, you've seen in the pictures, as you've seen everywhere. It's usually the poster in the glass. And that's the opening of the movie. There's also a few other things, but I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, the general point of this movie is that Annabelle is at home, and it is their daughter, Ed and Lorraine's daughter, Judy's, her birthday. I think she's turning 8 or 9. But her birthday's coming up. She gets picked on in school by a group of kids because she's a little bit different and because of her parents. And she doesn't have that many friends. And the only kind of friend that she has is her babysitter. What was her name? Oh, Jesus. Did I not even write the name down? Oh, Mary. Mary. And she comes over. She's going to babysit her. And then her Mary's friend, Daniela, comes over. And she's sort of a – she has a past. She lost her father in a car accident. She has this guilty conscience on her where she thinks it's her fault. And she she doesn't believe her, you know, like, oh, it's the Warrens, you know. Like, I'm going to come over and I'm going to do some digging. And she goes into the room, the artifact room, and unleashes Annabelle to cause chaos to everyone. Basically, you know, Judy, Mary, and Daniela. And, okay, here's the thing. Praise is a high word, but Annabelle Creation. It was way better than Annabelle, the very first one. Because it was a competent made movie. This one, it's I don't know. I mean, it's an okay movie for the right person. But to me, this movie was a bore. There was times, and I had sleep the night before I went to see this, and it was just daunting on me sitting there watching this. Because it was just so slow. And it's like everything like was in like half speed. And like there's like things that like, okay, move on, do something. And they're like, Jesus. It's just not a good movie. It's a good, I don't know, man. It's fine, right? It's a fine movie for those interested in the Annabelle. Annabelle girls are going to love this. I will say that. Annabelle girls are going to love this one. It has the fucking top-notch, you know, things that they would love. But for someone that's like me, this movie did not do anything for me. Like, the jump scares was a big, giant fart. Nothing happened. I was just like, I was bored to tears. I was like, I was out of this movie. Like, 25 minutes in. As soon as like Annabelle got unleashed, maybe like 10 minutes after that, I checked out. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying the movie just loses everything. And it's just, it didn't reel me back in. Basically, you know, they're running through the house. They see something, build up, you know, jump scare. They build up another scene, and like all these, you know, artifacts has like a certain spirit or remnants to it that's like attacking them, and that's kind of like building more onto the universe. Honestly, if you've seen the trailer for the movie, you've seen pretty much all the TV spots. You've seen the all the scares, because, you know, seeing it before every horror, you know, doing the reviews and seeing the trailer before the film of that week, and then like the TV spots on YouTube and on TV and everything like that. Like, it builds up, and like, okay, I know that this is going to happen. You know, she puts the quarter in her face. Here comes this, this ferryman, you know, I know that's going to happen. I know the doll on the sheets. I know when that's going to happen. So, like, they took all the important things and just kind of just, like, flatlined it. And I'm not saying that it worked anyway. I'm just saying that they did a bad job there because they put all of it in the marketing. And then the film itself was just a dud. It was boring. It was dull. And I did not care that much for it. I mean, is it better than the first one? It's like a coin flip, because at least the first one was kind of bad. They had like, what the hell is this? You know, it was like incompetently made and just like a bunch of shit going on in the first one. And then like the second one is like, all right, great. This is a step forward. And then this one is like, it's kind of a step forward because it's world building and it has like all these, you know, like the ferryman and then the werewolf creature, the werewolf ghost that comes into play later on in the film. Like it's building all these, you know, new properties for the Conjuring universe. And I was like, okay, whatever. But it's just like the story just fell flat. It was uninteresting. The characters just kind of sucked and they were drawn out. And you're like, you know, not saying that they were bad or anything. I'm just saying that like, you didn't really care. I mean, the girl who played Judy was decent. I mean, I'll give her that. I mean, she really did a good job. But everything else was just kind of repetitive. You know, it's just, you know, paint by numbers shit that it's terrible. And, you know, I'll give props. I mean, the ferryman, if they make a ferryman standalone movie, I think that's cool because he looked awesome. You know, even though there already been a ferryman movie called The Ferryman. But I'm just saying, like, I like the look of the ferryman and, like, the corpses, you know, with the coins on their eyes, just, like, you know, like, standing there. Like, I like, there's, like, aspects of it that was like, okay, this is going somewhere. But it doesn't, it just goes, you know, nowhere. Like, okay, it's just plot building, you know, world building. And it just doesn't really do anything. And then, like, the conclusion and everything, it falls flat. And there's just, like, I was trying to reel my head because again I watched this past weekend and I'm trying to go through my head and like remember shit, and it's just one of those movies where it's just after a couple days it is gone. Like there is nothing memorable about this movie, and it is just it you know, it made $20 million, yay. I mean it worked for some of the people in the crowd. I mean people were talking and doing their stuff and of course, like, oh, this is going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And, like, here I am just, like, saying, shut up. I don't fucking care, you know. Yeah, I was just out of it. And I'm not saying that, you know, I was in a bad mood or anything that day because I wasn't. I was going in there, you know, I'm always optimistic. And I was, like, saying, okay, if you know, we'll see how creation was, yeah. And this was the writer of The Nun. And I will say that this was The Nun was a little bit better than this one. I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of The Nun, but at least it was okay. You know, it had a decent atmosphere to it. And like this one, it's trying to build atmosphere and tension, and it just failed. There's just, like, there's no tension. There's, like, because it just did not work with, you know, just going around the house, like, oh, this is going to happen. Oh, this, that. It was dumb. And it was just like, oh, my God, I just don't care. And, yeah, this one, again, I guess it's a little bit better than the first one, but at least, I don't know, the first one had a pregnant lady getting stabbed in the stomach by a Manson supporter, so I don't know. I mean, that's, like, the one, like, harbinger of death thing that, like, is, like, okay, which one's better, you know? It's you don't know. But it's definitely one of the weaker films in the Conjuring universe of films. This one now I'm going to compare it to like The Curse of La Llorona because, again, it's another one that came out recently and it was in the Conjuring universe. At least that one, I mean, it had the scenes building up to like certain scenes like the umbrella scene, the water scene, or the pool scene. At least it kind of tried a little bit, even though it wasn't groundbreaking either. I don't know. It's still... It's hard to really say which one's better because they both suck. But at least this one, it's just a mixed bag, really, because there's, like, points where it could have done a little bit more. And I don't know if this is rated R. I think it was rated R. Let me double check here because I have my ticket. Yeah, it's rated R. There's no reason this movie's rated R. None. I don't know why it's rated R. It's like since the first one was rated R, you got to keep it that no matter what. And it just there's no point this film's rated R at all. I don't think there's any cursing. If it's for tension or violence, or just like terror, that's bullshit. Because there's none in there. It failed. It just failed. Do I recommend it? No, I don't. So I would say save your money, wait for it. Just don't, unless you really enjoy the franchise. But this is probably the bottom of the barrel of the year so far. And it you know, after Creation, you know, I was like saying, okay, maybe they'll go in the right direction. Nah, it's just middle of the road shit. And it's just like paint by numbers, you know, general Hollywood jump scare crap. And the jump scares in here didn't work on my point. It might have worked for other people. I'm not saying that didn't work. I'm just saying for me, it was a fail. And I do not really recommend the movie, even though I did like the Ferryman and the werewolf ghost. You know, it's interesting to see where they would take that. But yeah, I mean, it's nothing. Nothing to go out and go see. Nothing really all that grand. So just save your money. Ian?
Yeah, I don't know. It just sounds very blasé.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I was expecting. I was expecting it to not be, like, super terrible, but I figured, like, everything that they put in the trailers is what you're going to get.
That's the thing. It's like, it's not a terrible movie by any means, but it's just not good. You know, like, for another person, this could be, you know, like, they could enjoy it because it has, like, all the elements there that they'll enjoy. You know, it has, but just, it you know, on my personal viewing, it bored me where I could hardly keep my eyes open. I was like, you know, my eyes were getting heavy as I was watching, as the film was progressing. I was like, holy crap. You know, that's not good. That is not good. Usually I'm all invested. You know, some movies here and there bore me to death. This one is just, there was nothing. I mean, usually, you know, some of the atmosphere building, you know, keeps me interested. Nothing in this one. There was no atmosphere, no tension. It was just, it's just noise in the background type of movie.
Yeah.
Where you watch it and say, okay, here's something interesting. You know, here's the color wheel on the wall and the, you know, Annabelle's getting bigger and turns into the demon. No, you know, it's pretty colors, you know. That's all it is. It's like, ooh, look at the pretty colors. Look at the flowers, George. You know. I didn't mean to cut you off, Ian, but go ahead.
Oh no, you're fine. That's really all I had to say. Just something boring. But yeah, I don't think I'm gonna see it until it's either at the discount theater, when I can pay $2 on a Tuesday to go see it, or just wait till it's on Redbox.
Yeah,
Netflix.
That's the best thing to do. Okay, I don't want to go on anymore because I really don't care, because it's just something I want to forget about until the end of the year. And then, like, oh yeah, Annabelle came out. Who the fuck remembers that? Let's get into the beginning of what's going to be a great, I think, another, the beginning of a great Independence Marathon. We got a short, and I want to thank Darius Fry for reaching out and providing us a screening link, a screener of this short. It's I think it was like 12 minutes, wasn't it, Ian? It's called Trust Me.
Yeah, it's like something.
And And Trust Me is about Becca and Jim, and they're out. You know what this beginning reminded me of, Ian?
What?
Big Legend, the Bigfoot movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the very beginning of this. But Becca and Jim, they're out in this cabin in the woods, and Jim has he wants to propose to Becca, and he has, like, again, this big ordeal where he wants to go to this certain area in the woods to propose to her, and they come across this, you know, thing on the path in their way, and it freaks Becca out, and they go back to the cabin, and things start to happen. And this is a, you know, like I said, 12-minute short, so we can't really give a lot away, because it's still doing, it made its festival circuits, it's doing screenings and all that, and it has a while before it makes its public, well, not public, because it already made screenings, but, you know, online, public.
Yeah.
And it's a take on the Goat Man story legend. So I, you know, again, you, if you know anything about the Goat Man or anything like that, it's like a, it's an interesting legend. But things go haywire for Jim and Becca, mainly Becca, and because again, I want to give talk about the film, but I can't. Things go haywire, and here's the thing. This one, it's a good idea. Good idea. Great idea. I like where this is going, and I know they're going to try and make it into a feature. And I'm wondering, you know, as we did with the one we reviewed a few months back, the Australian film with the brother and sister at the house. The name's out of my memory at the moment. But it's like saying, where is this going to play? Is this going to be like, you know, are they going to continue on from this point? You know, of course you're going to make this happen, of course, to further along the story. But I like to see exactly where they take it, because it's a very interesting idea. And I do love stuff like this. It's one of my, you know, horror genre of choice. I guess technically, without giving too much away, but a little bit of Us in a sense, but in a different light. And it's going to be interesting to see how they further this idea and, you know, what they can do with it. Because it's an interesting concept, and I think if it's well executed, and the film looked, you know, the short looked great. I mean, you wouldn't even expect it, you know,
very
to be
good.
An indie short. You know, it's like how we said with the Australian one too. But this looked like something you would put, you know, in the theater. Honestly,
yeah, no,
it's like it was really great. So it's a great camera, whatever camera they use. So I give them props for that. It's going to be amazing when it turns into a feature. Ian, your thoughts on Trust Me?
I absolutely loved it. I thought it was – I was sitting there just watching. I was like, okay, this movie does a lot of my – you know, the check boxes that I like. You know, like, it has a major creep factor. It, you know, has a pretty decent story. Even for, like, as short as it was, like, I was still drawn in. I felt a little – for the characters, you know, they did a good job of building up these characters, and like, and I liked them. I was like, okay, I actually like it. And I was like, this right here is a short that did better than most movies that was put out in theater to me personally. Like, I mean, not all the movies, but you know, like a lot of like Annabelle. You know, I mean, this movie did more to, you know, make me interested, and it did, you know, it kept me going, and I was just like, you know, I didn't even realize, like, if, you know, 10 minutes passed or an hour passed, because I was just so invested in this movie, and I was like, oh, man, everybody needs to see this movie, this little short. Just because it's so well, Like, I thought it, I personally thought it was really well done. It knew what it was. It accomplished what it wanted to do, or at least I believe that it accomplished what it was trying to do. And, you know, and I, you know, like I said, you know, like you were saying, you know, you can't really talk about it because it is a short without, like, giving away, like, the entire plot details. Because, you know, you just say one line and then there you go, the whole movie's ruined or spoiled for you. But I do recommend once it comes out, and if they do make it a feature, I hope it's more like more of an anthology than anything, because I feel like the shorts that they were doing worked really well. Or either that, or that's just the setup for what's to come, like some of those movies do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think
so. There's a lot to play with. I mean, if they do it, you know, if they have the idea, they can. You know, as you said, an anthology with various shorts in it, or just like that's, you know, or just like full featuring, you know, like not the anthology way, but just like that's one couple, and then here comes another, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Or if we're just going to follow this central couple. I mean, there's enough there to mess around with. And again, the woods, you know, making, you know, woods creepy, you know, going harking back to the old days of actually making woods creepy, with the long drawn out shots of, you know, nothingness, or maybe there is something there. You don't know. You have to squint your eyes. So it's definitely, if they play on that factor, it'll be good. And just keep it out,
yeah.
You know. Just like, again, where the short goes, you know, again, we can't say much, but just like where it builds up, because the first, you know, 10, I'm going to say 8-7 minutes, you know, it's character building a little bit. Then you get a little bit of intrigue, like, okay, you know, because I'm sitting there like, where's this going? You know, I'm just sitting there like, where are we going? You know, I'm in it. I want to know where the next step is. And then finally it kicks in. Like, you know, all right, cool, I'm all for it, you know, and I want to see where
and
they go with it.
And I loved the way it ended, you
mm-hmm.
know? And, like, you know, and plus, like, you know, they can even do, like, the whole, this, you know, that being the setup, and the rest of the movie is, like, friends or family trying to find them and figure out what happened, kind of like the Blair Witch. But probably they would do it better.
So yeah, I forgot to mention this is directed by Nate Ruger. Nate Ruger. So Nate, you got yourself an interesting little project on your hands, and of course Darius, he's the producer of the film. And again, I want to thank him for providing us with a screener and including it in our
definitely.
Independence Horror Marathon. So he caught us at the right time. You know, he's like, hey, I got this short, and I'm like, yeah, you perfect. But yeah, I do recommend it. I mean, you can keep up to date on trustmemovie.com, or you can go to their Facebook page at Trust Me Horror Shorts. So check that out and keep up to date with all their, you know, new stuff, new updates, and all the festivals and circuits will probably be doing. So I think that's going to be it, because we got a little bit of time and we got to get another film in. And this is one I'm interested in, because here's a little bit of a backstory. A couple years ago, you know, I was at Scarefest, and Tim was there, Tim Ritter. And, again, Tim Ritter, the best guy ever, right? He's a great guy. And, you know, he was talking about where he was, you know, they're working on, you know, he was bringing up, oh, yeah, we're going to be working on High Death, and that's the sequel to High Eight. And I was like saying, all right, man, sweet. And so, I, you know, again, we talked there for hours. You know, who's, you know, if you listened, you know, I talked forever to Tim, great guy. And I was just like saying, all right, man, I can't wait to see how High Death turns out. And here it is, High Death, you know, 2 years, I believe 2 years later. And we have ourselves the next chapter, or the sequel to High Eight. And this is High Death. And if you don't know what High Eight is, it is a amalgamation of indie horror directors, mainly people who were known for shooting on video, shot on video horror films like Tim Ritter. Donald Farmer was in it last year, not last year, but the last High Eight, and a bunch of other, you know, Brad Sykes, he was in it. And Brad, I talked to him. He's the one that provided us with the screener as well. And good guy. I enjoy talking with Brad. And High Eight, sequel to High Death. So it's really, you get five shorts and a wraparound. And I'll go into the wraparound a little bit to give you a bit of a setup. And it's about these two girls, and they're in California, and they're just sightseeing. They're tourists, and they're just wanting to do all this stuff. The one girl wants to do, like, the stuff in town, but the other girl, she's more of like the horror person in a sense, and she finds this flyer, and they decide to go on this horror tour with their phone. They snap the barcode, and they go to these different areas, and every time they get to an area, they have to watch a short to get the coordinates or destination or to their next destination. They have to watch a video. And so our videos, again, I could go through the names, but I wrote these down how I would remember them. So we have one video. The very first one is about a junkie and her trip, in a sense. And then we have the next one, which I believe is Tim Ritter's, about a serial killer enthusiast who collects memorabilia. And it goes haywire a little bit. Then we have a video store clerk that has a mysterious DVD come into the return slot at the video store. And then we have an audition with a lady that is kind of nervous and doesn't know what's going on, and a lot of stuff going on with the audition. And then we have a painter who has a demon over his shoulder, and all hell breaks loose. And, okay, my thoughts, and I'll be able to compare this with another anthology film too. For the most part, I liked it. I thought some of the stories, I liked the setup, I liked the idea. I just felt like some of them didn't have the best execution, like the video store one. The setup was great. I was into it. And then it just kind of fizzled out at the end. The one with the junkie, the first one, I was wondering, as like with the short, like, okay, where's this going? We're following this, this junkie. It's a female, by the way. I didn't know if it, I mentioned that, but it's a girl. And she's looking for, heroin or something to inject into her veins. And it just goes on and goes on. And then she goes to a hotel room, and then that's, then it kind of changes central characters and becomes something else. I thought that was kind of a little iffy, you know what I mean? It was just like uneven, like, okay, we're following this character, and then we just get to this part of the story, and then it's just, we're going to throw her aside, even though it wasn't, because it's just like, that kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, that's probably what the idea was. It just comes out of nowhere. Tim's short with the serial killer, I felt like that one could have been edited a little bit better, just because there's a lot of dialogue that gets repeated and lines said over and over, and maybe they weren't going by a script or anything, or they just had lines, but I felt that one was just like, it could have been edited better. The audition, this one, I believe Brad directed this one, and he did the wraparound. This one was okay. But again, it just like, I didn't really, for a while there, I was like, okay, where's the horror aspect coming into it? And then finally it gets there. I mean, it was getting there, it was a bunch of just like character, a lot of development for the lead of the audition and what she has to go through. And then of course the last one I felt was the best. And Todd Sheets directed the last one about the painter. And I felt that one was the best out of all of them, because it was just like so out there. And I was like, I was really invested with it and the idea of it. And then just where it went, I was just like, yeah, That one's great. That was a reason why it was the closer of the anthology. And the wraparound, it was okay. I'm not saying anything bad about Brad or anything, but it was a reason to get, you know, to the next short without really having to do anything that much. And then it just kind of ended weirdly with, you know, I don't want to give that too much away. But yeah, overall it's a little uneven, but honestly, I'll tell you this thing. It's better than another anthology that is getting a lot of praise lately called Nightmare Cinema. And that one is by, you know, top high-end directors, you know, Mick Garris, Joe Dante, all those. And it's getting a lot of praise, and that one sucked major ass. And there was, like, only maybe one short, and the rest of it was uneven, and then the wraparound kind of sucked. So this one was way better. And it was, again, done, you know, lower budget. You know, there's actually $100 of my money in on this film, too, with Tim Ritter working on his stuff. Not saying, you know, anything bad or anything, but I'm just saying, it. You know, I'd rather have $100 of my money in on this film, the making of this film, than the shit that I watched was Nightmare Cinema. So that's a praise that your film, even though it's getting a lot of praise, Nightmare Cinema is, and like, oh, it's on top list in 2019 so far. I don't know where these people are getting this shit, because that movie was god-awful. And I give High Def bigger, you know, points for being more entertaining, even though some of the shorts weren't all that great. But again, it's an anthology, so you have your hit and miss shorts. But yeah, it could have been, you know, I think I went through what I could have with each short, you know, the editing on a few of them and how the endings just didn't really work out. Ian, your thoughts before, you know, we close the show.
All right. Well, I actually pretty much have the same thoughts as you did. I honestly did like the first one just because, you know, it was a lot of weird shit that happened.
Mhm.
And that's just, I like weird shit. And that's most like the, I guess I'm going to give it a little bit, but just like the masks and stuff that was used, that's what,
yeah, the mask was
honestly
cool.
Did it for me. Yeah, that's what did it for me. The second one, the horror enthusiasm guy, I thought that went drug on just a little bit. Personally, wasn't my favorite. I didn't think it was bad. I just thought
no.
There were some parts that just drug on too long, and that it honestly could have been a little bit shorter. And
see,
still
that
told
one,
the,
that
you know,
one,
the same
thing. I don't want to interrupt you. I hate to interrupt you. But see, this one with the serial killer memorabilia thing, because in the last one, in High 8, there's also a little snuff film enthusiast where, like, he's a serial killer and he does, like, snuff films and, like, he finds, like, the one videotape. So it kind of just, like, paralleled that one, or, like, it just kind of reminded me of that one in the last one.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But anyway, I don't think you've seen High 8. But anyway, go on. It was just,
I haven't. The video store one was all right. The one I would love to talk about was the painter. That one was done. I thought was really, like, that was my favorite part. And I was like, you know, because, I mean, the video store one kind of, you know, just kind of, it was just kind of there. I mean, it wasn't bad. I liked where it was going. The ending was just kind of weird. But
yeah. And then they, like, used, like,
know,
meme horror footage in the video, in the footage.
Yeah.
Because there's, like the scene from the Poughkeepsie tapes in there. Yeah.
Yeah, I love those. I love that, like, art house. And I guess that's where they were trying to do, like, art house horror. And
a little bit of Blair Witch.
Yeah, and I like that. I was like, ooh, because I was kind of bored, and then I was getting kind of bored, and then when he put the movie in and started playing, I was like, whoa, okay, I like this. I like this a lot. And then You know, but the final one, that was honestly, I was not expecting that. I mean, it was kind of weird. Some parts were just a little off, but I mean, I honestly probably will rewatch that scene again later on. And it was, you know, I love anything that's demonic and painting. Like, I love art. So anything that involves art stuff, I'm absolutely enthralled by. So when it did that, and then it just got, it got, I was like, okay. After we, you know, like the closing part was just like, I was like, oh, that's neat. And then the wraparound story, the ending, I just felt like it started something and then it just dropped off. And I was just like, I'm okay. I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't,
yeah.
You know, I really, and I honestly, I did enjoy this anthology, you know, for all that it was. And I'm glad that, you know, I got to watch it. And I honestly, I probably will rewatch the whole thing again eventually. And so that's, you know, I feel like it does have some rewatch value. Plus, you know, if your friends or you got a bunch of friends and you're bored, I honestly would say just put that on because it's not bad at all.
Yeah. And like I said, this is, you know, it's shot on video stuff. So it's, the picture's going to look, you know, a little grainy because that's their medium, you know, that's how they paint or how they use stuff. And again, me being, you know, VHS collector and, you know, watching, you know, horror, all kinds of stuff, I have no problem with that because I love that type of cinema. And again, I love Tim Ritter, Brad, great as well, because Brad, the very first film I believe I ever saw Brad's was Death Factory. And I found that at a video store and I bought it for $5. I'm like, this is awesome. And so, yeah, ever since like Death Factory, I've been a fan of this Brad stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I appreciate Brad and letting us review it a little bit. I don't know if it's a little bit early, but I believe it is available on DVD on Wild Eye.
Yeah.
So you probably go on to Amazon.
Yeah.
What is it, Ian?
Oh, I was going to say, I just remembered Tim Ritter's actually going to be at the at a bar that's doing a VHS swap right in front of my house. Like, it's literally a 2-minute walk from my house. So I might actually be able to, if I can pop in, you know, let him know that I, you know, we've reviewed the show, you know, his movie, his thing, and thank him for what he's done. So.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, dude, you can talk to Tim forever. I mean, when I went there to Scarefest, we talked, I mean, hours. I mean, just stood behind his table and just talked, you know. And that's, you know, when you have somebody that's just, like, cool enough to have you, like, come behind their you know, their table and just stand there and talk for hours, I mean, that's a cool dude. And he's awesome. And he's, like I said, when we talked about Scarefest, you know, he's just he's us. You know, he's a horror fan. He loves the genre, and he's just doing what he loves, you know. He's an awesome dude. And yeah, you know, he's telling, like, hey, I'm the friend of, you know, who, you know, we do the show. But yeah, if you want to see High Death, like I said, I believe it is available on DVD. I don't know if it's out in Walmart yet because I haven't seen it, so I'm sure it'll be available at Walmart, maybe. But if not, you know, Amazon has all the stuff you need. But yeah, it's not a bad anthology. Like High 8, it had some okay segments. It had some good segments. And you know, it had, you know, some editing problems here and there, and some stories just didn't flow well or didn't really know how to end properly, or they just didn't have the right execution for the ending. But nonetheless, it's better than a higher budget anthology film. I will say that. So that's major props. when the indie guys can do it better. And, you know, it has some problems. Honestly, the problems for this one is minuscule compared to fucking Nightmare Cinema. I will say that much. Ian, I'm going to call it a show before we get kicked off here. I think it was a great start. And next week, we'll have another indie film as well as a review for Midsommar, which is technically indie. So it works. So anyway, I want to thank Darius and I want to thank Brad.